Many of the disciples of Jesus who were listening said, "This saying is hard. Who can accept it?" Since Jesus knew that his disciples were murmuring about this, he said to them, "Does this shock you? What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life, while the flesh is of no avail. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe." Jesus knew from the beginning the ones who would not believe and the one who would betray him. And he said, "For this reason, I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by my Father." As a result of this, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer walked with him. Jesus then said to the 12, "Do you also want to leave?" Simon Peter answered him, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
The Church, in her wisdom, raises up certain saints to be doctors of the Church, to hold them as saints who you can trust as having particular wisdom we all need to hear and trust. Today we celebrate the feast of Saint John of Avila, Doctor of the Church, and I'm fairly certain the only diocesan priest to be a Doctor of the Church. He was a simple man, a mystic, loved the Lord dearly, who simply ministered to the faithful. Not a martyr, not going out to the missionary limbs of the world, but he stayed where he was and loved his people well. He led many other saints, Saint John of God, Saint Teresa of Avila, and guided them to the heights of holiness. He's a doctor of the Church because of his wisdom. He says certain things like, "The cross is the crossbow of God. That the arrow is the wood of the cross, his arms outstretched with a bow that strings it back, and the wound in his side is the notch that it's held on. And when we gaze upon the cross, we are wounded by the love of God." Other things he says on his classic work on the love of God, he says that the Lord, his body, is like the arrow slits in the temple, that it's actually wider on the inside than it is on the outside. When we look upon Christ, his wounds, and his love for us on the cross, I don't want to dare say that it's not enough, but it's actually wider on the inside of his heart than the outside. The Lord, if he could have, would have suffered his death on the cross for all of time until the final coming. If he could have, and if what it would have cost, he would have proceeded to suffer his death on the cross for each one of us again and again. But in his heart, the abyss, the inferno of the love of his heart was actually more than was possible for him to display in his humanity. That's something we can trust in is that good, that powerful. Again, not that it wasn't enough, but it's actually always not possible for love to express itself as much as it wants to. That Jesus' heart is something so deep, so real, so powerful, that it doesn't know how to express itself in its madness, in its drunkenness of his love. Even the love on the cross shown for us is still just a sign of his love that we're not going to see fully until we can see him face to face in heaven. And so, our gospel today, we hear the tragedy of Jesus' disciples leaving him because he speaks to us of the Eucharist. But our Lord, in his heart, is not willing to budge on this. He wants so badly to give himself to us in the Eucharist. And his heart is overflowing, overwhelming, that he longs to do this, so much so that when it comes to it and people leave him on this, he won't budge. And he turns to his apostles and says, "Do you also want to go?" And again, this is Peter. This is the first pope. Just like some saints, some doctors of the church wonder, if Mary would have said no, maybe we wouldn't have been saved. And maybe we can question, if Peter would have left too, maybe we wouldn't have been saved and the church would have collapsed right then and there. But Jesus in his heart, so zealous, so filled with love, will actually risk everything to give us the Eucharist and say, do you want to go? Because I'm not budging on giving myself completely. Thanks be to God, Peter says the only words possible that make any sense. Lord, to whom else shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And so even the great sign of the Eucharist, more than a sign, the reality itself, but still veiled, we can't comprehend the love of our Lord's heart in the sacrament of the Eucharist. But there's nowhere else to go, because here is where he doesn't just give us the sign of his love. He gives us his heart himself. Not possible to understand, but we know that it overflows the inferno, the abyss of his love that's beyond comprehension.